Rachel's asked me to talk about how we care for mums and how the difference it makes to them and how this fits into our values, particularly mission and outreach. So how does the Tiddlywinks and Baby and Me group fit in with these values? I'm going to talk mainly about Baby and Me group because Tiddlywinks has sort of been shut down temporarily over the time of the pandemic because of logistics and practicalities. So we can show unconditional love to these first-time mums that come to the Baby and Me group. Most of them have had their babies during the lockdown and haven't been able to see anybody face-to-face, which has been really challenging for them to be able to talk through any issues that they might be having or just getting that those friendships started and established. So it's all been over videos, which they've really struggled with. Even the babies have only seen themselves in a mirror. So seeing them having their first encounter with another baby when they've sat opposite another baby in the group has been absolutely incredible to see their little facial expressions as they sort of stare at this other face. We can serve them well by bringing them hot drinks and Rachel's delicious cakes, which they're very pleased to indulge in. And we can introduce them to other mums and build friendships with them, and they can forge new friendships themselves with these mums. They can come into a safe space, they can sit and chat and ask us questions if they want to, and we can offer them wisdom from our own experiences when they ask us things about our own children and experiences. We can also be a stepping stone to faith by talking to them about SCF and why we run this group, about us as a church family, and we can ask them about faith themselves. They seem to be very open to talk about this. They tell us that the difference it makes to them is absolutely incredible. They say, every time I see them, they say, I just can't thank you enough. This is a lifeline and we look forward to it every week. For me, it's an absolute privilege to serve these mums and families, and it brings me as much joy as it does to them. Thank you.
I've really sort of going to be talking testimonially really about what it's been like to be a foster carer. Andrew and I have been foster carers now for 3 years. Those of you who don't know us, we have two teenage daughters of our own. Because we're both working, we do this as short breaks in the weekends and often for longer periods over the holidays. So you've probably seen us with children, you think, those aren't Andrew's daughters, are they? And typically a particular little boy that we've had consistently now for 3 years. So I was asked, what called us to becoming foster carers in the first place? Well, we got to the point where our girls were a bit older and they kind of needed us less and became more independent. And we just thought, you know, we're not ready to give up parenting yet. And we wanted to give back. We wanted to show love to those who haven't been loved, who haven't received that love, to know God's parental love. Our family is blessed. You know, they've received constant, secure, unconditional love and security and acceptance. And we wanted to give that. We wanted to give love to those who haven't received that type of love. So that's kind of what really moved us into looking down the fostering route to start with. So then what's it like being a foster carer? It's a sacrifice. You know, we've had to change a lot of things. We've had to change our home. We moved home to get a spare room. We've had to put security things in place to make it safe for children coming. We've undertaken a lot of training, safety training and safeguarding training, and that's an ongoing commitment every year. We attend groups. We have a social worker every month, and we have to write visitation reports. And when you have a child, any child, you always have to put their needs first. And sometimes you've got some quite complex needs. For example, some of the things that you might be doing to put their needs first are: you cook what they like, you watch TV they like, you read stories that they like, and you play games that they like. You go outside, you hug trees, you throw leaves, you feed ducks, you scavenge for feathers and something yellow. You throw frisbees and zoom balls. You cycle on bikes. You bake cupcakes, play digital games, build Lego, create with hammer beads, and spend time listening to how their day has been and being interested in what interests them. It's all such a sacrifice, isn't it? But is it? You know? We are called to love sacrificially. And when we do, we receive bountifully. And I think time is the greatest gift that anybody can give, whether it's a parent. And I think being a mother, that's all of these things as sort of things that you give as time and that a child needs and appreciates. And often foster children just don't get that at all. So whether you're a mother or a father or a son or a daughter, it's just when you give sacrificially to others for their benefit and not your own, the blessings and rewards are immeasurable and not by this world's standards. And just to finish off with, you know, all of the things that we say that we give, one of the immeasurable little anecdotes, I have this little boy that we've been seeing for 3 years now. We're in lockdown, what do? So we went up onto the common and we were playing, throwing ball between Andrew, myself and this boy. And we were up there for a good 2 hours. He didn't want to come home. And he threw the ball to me and said, "Mother." And I thought, oh, I'll let that slip, you know, because he's got a birth mother and a full-time foster mother. And we played another few minutes later and he said it again. He said, "Mother." And he wanted me to know. And he said, "You don't mind me calling you that, do you?" And it's the greatest gift that anyone can have. It's that he has accepted that overall, out of everything and the time that we've invested in him, that he feels like I'm being a mother to him. And there's just no greater reward than that. Prayer-wise, we were asked, how could you pray for us? And I think patience with all the paperwork and ongoing commitments, I think. And then when we get back to church and we bring children that you know don't look like our own two girls, it's making them be kind and just a little bit more patient because they're not used to being in church. You know, we might arrive late because they can't sit while we worship because they're not used to it. It's weird, but they love the children's groups. So it's being family to them when they come in. And as any foster carer or adopter will know, that means the world to us. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. My mum is my hero. And obviously she's the best mum in the world. I love her sense of fun, her energy and adventurous spirit. She's always been independent, self-confident, and a bit stubborn in her own way of doing things. She comes from up north, from Bolton in Lancashire, where chatting in the bus queue or laughing with strangers about the weather is as normal as a fish and chip supper served in old newspapers. She is soft-hearted to the point where she would always put two empty milk bottles out on the front step together at a time. There had to be at least two together so that they didn't feel lonely. A few years ago, my mum started to change and in quite radical ways, exhibiting a growing distress and unease about day-to-day living. She felt more and more down, more and more disassociated with her normal sense of happiness. The long and the short of it is that she was diagnosed with anxiety and depression. But being who she was, she fought against her own mental decline. I've watched her many times trying to be okay when clearly she wasn't. I've seen her extraordinary determination to hold on to her own personality. However, as time has gone on, she has become more and more overwhelmed by it. She struggles to keep her head above water and has got very weary and worn out by the effort. I love her, that's a given, she's my mum. But I quickly came to realise that she needed more than that. More than a nice feeling from me. Could I give her that? Of course I could. I'd do anything for her. We talk about unconditional love so easily. A phrase which slips off the lips almost without a thought for its true meaning. Unconditional love. I've said it just like we all have. Here's the thing. Love is the greatest force in the universe. But unconditional love, what's that like? In my experience, it takes energy. It's challenging. It's time consuming. It can be extremely exhausting and demanding. But it's not a passive thing. It's just like God himself. It's dynamic and full of power and victory through sacrifice. It requires me to be actively patient and kind and gentle and faithful and joyful and peaceful and self-controlled with no thoughts as to my own needs. Having no conditions to loving my mum has taken me completely out of my depth. A day of helping her from one crisis to another, of fighting with everything I have to keep her safe, of constantly trying to reassure her is draining, sometimes beyond words. I have had to call on God as never before and stand on his promises like it was a lifeline, because my best strength is weakness. I have shouted hallelujah in the presence of her enemies. I said to God one day, Lord, you said that you would take our burdens. I'm going to need you to take mine every day. And there's going to be a lot of them. Instantly, I felt the reply, give them all to me. The Father's unconditional love for each of us is seen in Jesus. He met the needs of thousands upon thousands of people while on earth, teaching them, healing them, delivering them, restoring them, dying for them. Dying for us. How does he continue that today? Through us, yes, us, weak as we are. He calls us to show unconditional love, and to do that we will need every ounce of his spirit and strength and compassion. Love comes out of love, and we need to grasp with both hands the height and the depth and the length and the width of God's love for us. When we know his love, we can pass it on to others and so fulfill the law of Christ. Thank you.